Limitless Wrestling fans, what's going on? John Alba, the czar of Limitless Wrestling, Randy Barber here as well. And yeah, I'm on location this week. I told you guys last week there'd be a little moving around, and that's what we're kind of dealing with right now. So if the sound quality is not up to that Emmy Award-winning expectation, we apologize for that.
How you liking Florida, though, John?
Humid. Definitely humid. It's been a little hectic these past few days, but we're getting set and again ready to get locked and loaded. So that's
good to hear.
That's what's important, right? It's just been a bit of a crazy move, but that's okay. That's what happens when you move from one part of the country to the other. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to answer some questions today, as we talked about last week. On the program, we do an Ask Limitless this week, and that's just what we plan on delivering. Randy, any final thoughts from last week's show that you want to kind of recap here?
I loved last week's show. We got a lot of great feedback, too. I don't know. It felt like it had been a while since we had been able to do a podcast. I think it was a couple weeks, so it was nice to kind of jump back in the saddle and get one out there, and I'm excited to answer some questions now.
Well, before we answer some questions, let's get some plugs out of the way, including the next upcoming Limitless Wrestling show, Pretenders Beware, September 21st at the Westbrook Armory in Westbrook, Maine, 7:30 bell time. Anything you want to plug on that front?
That I woke up this morning and realized that it's next Friday. That's pretty crazy. I've told everyone who's asked, if you're planning on going to this show, I would definitely recommend grabbing your tickets ahead of time. I think we're down to like 65 tickets left, somewhere in that.
So you're anticipating a sellout here.
It's looking like it, man. We're usually able to add some tickets to the, you know, to sell at the door from what they judge our capacity to be that day. So I'm expecting that we'll be able to release like another 40 to 50 tickets, but there's been times where it just hasn't happened. So definitely grab your tickets ahead of time. I think we're going to be pretty close to a sellout if we're not there. And you don't want to miss these matches, man. Ace Romero and JT Dunn, Colt Cabana and Anthony Green, Brody King one-on-one with Josh Briggs, Brian Cage one-on-one with Chris Dickinson. Ashley Vox is going to team up with Willow Nightingale against Chris Statlander and Davey M. We get an open invite scramble championship match. I don't know when the last time we had a title defended was on a Limitless show, but Ace Austin's bringing that thing. Sammy Callahan entered himself into the match. It's going to be absolutely crazy. So
is that a little strange for you to see a guy, not that this is any discredit to the scrambles or anything like that, but to see a guy of his stature want to get in on something like that and make a name for himself there? Or is that just kind of speak to the credibility that these kinds of matches have built?
I definitely think the credibility of these kind of matches, and you know, I think it's pretty cool because the scramble match itself has been a staple of Pro Wrestling Revolver 2, which a lot of people don't know is actually Sammy Callahan's promotion in Ohio. So, I don't know. It's a really cool opportunity, I think, because now this not only opens the door to, you know, any Limitless talent, but really any talent in the general vicinity of New England who has, you know, maybe wanted a chance to either break into Limitless or even Pro Wrestling Revolver. This is the chance to get their name out there and do that and maybe win a title in the process.
Of course, no doubt about it. Plus, we got Let's Wrestle coming up in October, and there was an announcement made. Top Shelf, Troy Nelson making his Let's Wrestle debut.
Oh, yeah. Top Shelf coming back up to Orono. It has been, years since Top Shelf has graced the American Legion post 84, but yeah, tickets just dropped for the new Let's Wrestle show, October 12th, Friday night in Orono. So definitely grab your tickets if you want them. Front row is already halfway sold out. And there's a ton of stuff lined up for this, especially a sick main event, a trios match, the Main State Posse versus Todd Harris, Rob Marsh, and classic Calvin Strange.
Looking forward to it. I enjoyed the last Let's Wrestle show. Did some commentary for it. Hope that we get to see it someday.
Oh, yeah. It's going to drop pretty soon, actually, on YouTube.com/Limitless Wrestling.
That's what I want to hear right now. All right, well, let's start answering some questions. The hashtag was AskLimitless. You asked them on social media, and we are here to answer them. So let's get to it. Let's start with Jessica here, who asked, what is one match that happened because of a cancellation that turned out to be one of the best of the night?
Okay, that's a really interesting question. I feel like I could choose a lot of matches from Only Fools Are Satisfied in March because we had like 20 cancellations.
Yeah, that was. I could even attest to that. You know, Shane Strickland hopping in on that main event
Yeah, dude, that was so cool because we've tried to get Shane Strickland before and just like the stars aligned for him to be that replacement.
Any others that come to mind?
One of them that I actually saw, I think it was Tony, respond to on Twitter was when ACH was pulled at Problematic. He was pulled by New Japan, and that led to Brian Cage wrestling Flip Gordon. It was supposed to be ACH and Flip Gordon, but that, you know, turned into Brian Cage. And I don't know. That was quite a fucking match. I also think to past your bedtime, when Anthony Green's opponent canceled, which was Chucky T, and Hot Sauce Tracy Williams canceled, who was supposed to wrestle Xavier Bell, and they kicked off the show, and I think had one of the best opening matches, even, you know, one of the best matches of the night, regardless, but one of the best opening matches in Limitless history, and that one's available for free if you want to check that one out.
We're going to see Xavier Bell anytime soon?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I love Xavier Bell. Like, he's just a dude who I love to chill with when he's up here. And I was just talking to him the other day, like just wishing that he was up here more. But I just think that they're just kind of, we wound up in an area where there's really nothing for Xavier Bell at one point. And, you know, towards the end of last year, he was kind of in and out of Limitless. I want to say his last match was in July, and then he didn't wrestle again until January of this year. But, you know, Xavier Bell's not doing a ton of wrestling right now. The real life kind of comes in there a little bit, and, you know, he's got a very good job. You know, he's doing well for himself. So I definitely think if not Limitless and Let's Wrestle, you'll be seeing Xavier Bell pretty soon.
That's good news for everyone. We like to hear that. Jesse wants to know, what video games did you both play as kids or now?
Okay, that's a fun one.
Yeah.
My first gaming system was a Nintendo GameCube that I still have to this day.
Are you really that young that you didn't have an N64?
Like, yeah,
I'm not that old. I'm really not that old. But I had an N64. You didn't? Oh my goodness.
I got a GameCube for Christmas, and I was jamming on Mario Kart Double Dash, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Double Dash was fun. That was a good game.
Dude, Double Dash is my favorite Mario Kart.
But you know, I had the original Mario Kart. I still remember getting it.
Is that still your favorite?
I got it as an Easter gift. I want to say in like 1998, maybe. You know, like, nice. I wore the hell out of that game. I think
is that one still standing as your favorite Mario Kart, though? I'm a little
I think so. I think because it's just the original, and I mean that's you know, there's a nostalgia factor in that, and I loved, and how could you not, it's in the folklore of pro wrestling games, No Mercy.
Yes, I love No Mercy. Yes. I also had that. My favorite wrestling game, though, and I guess this shows how young I am, was SmackDown versus Raw 2007.
Oh my god.
I loved it because the GM mode, like, it was awesome on 2006, but just SVR 07, that was my jam. The GM mode, I would do that for hours and hours upon end.
You are dating yourself pretty poorly.
I am. Also, I just want to get this out there. 2005 was the mecca of sports video games because NFL 2K5 and MVP baseball.
Thank you. Oh my god. Yeah, I mean, MVP baseball is great, but NFL 2K5 kind of like changed the landscape for sports video games.
It was the best game. I had such an insane crib on that game.
Terrell Owens on the cover of that.
Yeah, no. Little side story. I was at Danger Kid's house a couple weeks ago, and I don't know why. I just really trusted, you know, the vibe I was getting from Danger Kid when we were talking about video games. So he goes into the other room, and I look at his girlfriend, and I said, he's going to come out of there, and I'm going to ask him what his favorite baseball game is of all time, and he's going to tell me it's MVP baseball with Manny Ramirez on the cover. And sure as shit, he walks out of there, and I ask him right on the money.
See, I was more partial to the first MVP baseball, which they are relaunching MVP baseball soon.
Really?
They are. But the first one, I believe, had Randy Johnson and Miguel Tejada on the cover, and that's like peak of my starting to really get into baseball, so there's a bit of a nostalgia factor there for me too, and that kind of laid the groundwork. MVP baseball with Manny on it was great too.
Did you ever play any of the MLB the Show games?
A few of the shows. I was really into All-Star Baseball, the ones that had Jeter on the cover a lot. I had the PS2 at the time, And I was also into the James Bond games. I loved Nightfire. I thought Nightfire was a great game.
I never got into any of those. I did play some Call of Duty in my early Call of Duty. Yeah. That was fun.
As far as now, I don't play video games now, primarily because I don't have time or $60 to drop on video games spontaneously.
Dude,
so
they're so expensive. So, now. It's crazy.
Yeah. What about you? Are you in this whole like Fortnite craze or something?
I do like Fortnite, but that is the only game.
I watched a video of Fortnite for the first time the other day. I'd never seen Fortnite. I'd only heard about Fortnite, and then I saw it, and I don't get it. But hey, 2 weeks.
I feel it. I got sucked in for a little, man. Like I got into it like last November, and for that like November to January phase, I was deep in. Like I would try to play every couple days.
Gotcha.
And now I maybe once a week, but I love Fortnite. It's a fun game.
There you go. Thank you for the question there, Jesse. We got a question from Paul. What are your thoughts on Powerbomb.tv, and should we expect to see more Limitless content added?
I think Powerbomb TV is really awesome for independent wrestling. I did the free trial like a lot of people have done, and it's just really cool because there's so much, I would say, independent wrestling that you haven't heard of, because they've got like promotions from Italy, promotions from Mexico that you would never know of because they're not the big ones from there, you know? And I don't know, just really cool content. I think they're doing a cool thing. We've actually been talking with Powerbomb TV off and on for the past month. Nothing has come into place for a deal, but I would say it's safe to say by the end of this year, there will probably be some new Limitless Wrestling content on Powerbomb.tv.
Good. That's good to hear. And you see, you know, Powerbomb and similar, you know, Fight.tv just did all that stuff with All In. So pretty cool to see these different outlets popping up. Did you get to see any of All In since last week?
So I got to watch the Trios main event, and all I have watched other than that was the Battle Royal.
How disappointing was it that main event was cut down from 24 minutes to 12 minutes? It was the best 12-minute match I've ever seen. But
it was fantastic. Like, but see, I'm looking at it from a promoter standpoint. Yeah. I am so fucking happy that that match ended on the air.
Oh yeah, well, of course,
man,
yeah.
It was close to cutting out, man, and I'm just so happy that they got to finish that match.
Yeah, but it
would have been a spectacle if they got the full time. I think they had some cool shit.
Just the moment of Kota and Ray being in the ring together, it was a very special main event. And then you said you saw the Battle Royal, which I thought was one of the best Battle Royals I've ever seen.
Dude, I don't know if I've seen anything better. I love Battle Royals, first of all. I think they should bring back the gimmick Battle Royal at WrestleMania, second of all. But, this was all people who, you know, they're on national television on WGN America. They're going to go out there and do the best fucking job they can, and they did.
Seeing Flip get the moment that he did, too. I mean,
that was cool. I did not see that coming, honestly.
I thought you knew what he was going to do. You told me. You were trying to ask me. You're like, oh, I know what Flip's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you talk about Battle Royals. John from Orlando wants to know, are we ever going to see a Battle Royal in Limitless anytime soon?
Oh, there's actually been only one Battle Royal in the history of Limitless. It was at the La Kermesse Festival last summer. And Bear Bronson won a chance to fight for the Creative Pro Championship later in the night. But I don't know, like, never say never, but if there's a circumstance that warrants a Battle Royal on a Limitless show, you'll see one, and I'm sure it'll be bomb. I just, you know, it's got to... I'm not just going to do one to do one.
No, but maybe hypothetically speaking, maybe that wouldn't be a bad way to do like a last chance to get into the Vacationland Cup kind of thing.
That's actually a pretty good idea.
Yeah, you're right.
It might happen.
That's just the last man in or last man or woman in. You know, that's a...
Should it be a Battle Royal or a Royal Rumble, though?
Ooh. I mean, I'm partial. I'm partial to the Royal Rumble, but if you're going to do a Royal Rumble, the stakes have to be a little higher than just getting into the tournament. So, but I'm with you. Look, people love a good Battle Royal if it's done well, and that one was done very well. So
it was very fun.
Josh asks, can you run us through what happened when you found out Teddy Hart was not making it to Hybrid Moment? Seems like a wild situation.
Yeah, damn right it was.
You've kind of talked about this on the past about Teddy Hart in our conversations.
So to take you to the exact moment, I was at a function in like the Newport area with my ex, and we were coming back, and I remember I pulled into a gas station and I was pumping gas, and my phone, I get reception again, and my phone's going nuts. And it's Brett Lauderdale, who's the owner of GCW, who, other than myself at that time, was probably the closest like connected person to Teddy. It was like me, Joey Janela, and Brett, who Teddy would talk to like every single day. I should have known something was up because I didn't hear from him for a couple days, but Brett's like, hey, this thing just came up and Teddy is incarcerated at the moment and we don't know what's, you know, we don't know what's going on. And Teddy's talked about it all, you know, extensively on the Jericho podcast. So if you want to hear the full scoop on what happened, he lays it out there in his best detail possible. But we just didn't know what was going on. So, and then Josh Briggs hit me up and it wasn't common knowledge yet that this is happening. This, you know, went on. So throughout the night, I'm, you know, calling people and kind of texting back and forth, trying to figure out what's up. And then it was just so ironic because I was Harry was putting together the Unsanctioned video for Briggs and Hart. So I was just about to message him to say, hey, don't do that because this match is not happening. And just as I go to message him, the link pops up that he's done with it. And I'm like, unreal. So yeah, that was, you know, I found out that night that you know, that match was not happening at the very least. He wasn't getting out till the end of November. But yeah, it sucked because we had to, you know, that match was highly anticipated. We had to find a good replacement really quick, which we did in Darby Allin, and we formed a great relationship having him at Limitless. And I'm, you know, blessings in disguise there, but I was real bummed out about it. But I think, you know, I've said this before, that Unsanctioned that ended up coming out with all the footage that we had for so many months was such a cool ride to watch. So if you want to watch that, youtube.com/LimitlessWrestling. I love that video.
It's all about the chase. Jake wants to know, have you ever thought of taking Let's Wrestle on the road outside of Orno?
Not at the moment, honestly.
I kind of feel like that would defeat the purpose of what Let's Wrestle's trying to serve right now.
Yeah, exactly. Because Let's Wrestle, like, when me and Danger Kid were talking about it, it's just like, we want to bring some good wrestling back to the Central Maine area. And I love Orono. You know, I think I can speak for most people. That venue is fucking awesome for wrestling. And it's cool because, like, that's where Limitless grew up. So this is, like, the ground floor of Limitless now, where it's talent, you know, specifically chosen by myself, Danger Kid, Aggro, and Alexander Lee. And we're just building these cards of people, you know, maybe we could see them in Limitless down the road, or maybe this is a gradual progression for the wrestler just to get in front of new crowds, work with new people, you know. But yeah, not on the road yet. You know, it started originally in Portland very quick, but I think Orono is the spot for it right now, or at least the Central Maine area in general.
Anthony asks, what are the chances of seeing Eddie Edwards in the Limitless ring this year?
Probably pretty slim because we have like one show left after this, but we've tried to link up with Eddie Edwards numerous times. He was on the show in October of 2016, but got pulled by Impact. But we just seem to not just link up schedule wise. We always have different schedules, whether he does a lot of appearances for Impact Wrestling. So that kind of takes him up on most weekends anyway. But I would love to have Eddie Edwards anytime that we can set that up.
No doubt about that. Daniel says, discovered you guys while at the Litchfield Fair this weekend. So happy I did. What are your thoughts on fair shows and outdoor shows in general?
That's awesome. I love fair shows, and for that specific reason, that someone found out about us from them. I think it's a cool way to present our brand of professional wrestling in front of a new audience who may not, you know, see us otherwise. They may not see us on social media or posters or anything. Litchfield Fair was very nice. I really enjoyed it there this year. A lot of people, too, came through, so that was always cool. But outdoor shows are tough because you have the big factor that you can't change, and that's the weather. Because if it rains, if it storms, you know, it's not ideal for professional wrestling to be outside. But I like outdoor shows. I like fair shows. It's just it'd be super stressful to put on outdoor shows all the time.
Yeah, I would say so, unless you got those big, like, canopies that WWE has, but
that would be sick, but those are a ton of money.
And then you're blocking people's views, and then you're like me and you have to finagle your way into finding better seats by flashing your Emmy, and that's just not that's just not what you want.
That's what gets it done.
It's a partially true story what I just told you.
Have you ever brought that up in a bar before? Like, have you ever been chatting with someone and you may be interested and you're like, you know, I have an Emmy?
Not to that extent. No. Okay. You know, if someone were to bring it up, I wouldn't deny it.
Got a good wingman on the fly there.
So,
huh?
Yeah, there you go. I got you.
Perfect.
Big Bad Harmon wants to know, will Tex Arcana be on the next show?
I don't think so, man. I think Tex is booked up that night.
Oh, I mean, hey, you know, it's, you never know. It's
never say never.
No, probably, you don't. I mean, never. I mean, I would have never thought that, you know, what I did would be a thing, because Roy says, for Randy, have you ever thought of trying managerial work on the shows? I know that you used to announce the Tex Arcana stuff had me rolling.
I did used to announce. I actually have done managerial work before. I managed, Ryan Michaels. You know Ryan Michaels.
Yeah.
I was his manager. My name was Goon Number One. I came in and attacked a man by the name of The Tank, and myself and Jacques Francais, who was the other goon, we held the guy, and then Luke Robinson from Tough Enough came in, whipped me around, and I took a super kick. And I had, at this point, been in the business for 2 months and had done nothing in the ring, and took a super kick, and that was the extent of my managing duties. But I don't think I would. I don't know. It's just not really what I'm.
All right. So here's your chance to give a little love to some managers here, because, you know, I think a lot of people look at managers and say, oh, well, their job is just to talk and then maybe get beat up a little bit. Go ahead and why don't you give some credit to some of the managers that have stepped foot in a limitless ring?
Well, John, I think you've done a great job.
Of course.
You've been body bagged and.
Okay, well, that's the thing, and you can attest to this. I have very rarely ever said no to an idea.
Yeah,
and I think that is an important thing, because if I'm going to do something that is going to try to enhance a talent, and I think that's ultimately what a manager's job is, to not get themselves over, but to get their talent over, and you can utilize your strengths to do that. And at the same time, you have to be willing to do something to enhance them, right, and to entertain the crowd. You know, and I'd like to think what we accomplished in my last show did just that. And, you know, I'll admit the bag thing, you know, when I was asked about that, that's a traumatizing thing.
It's an odd request.
It is a very, and not that is my first show with your company, and you're like, you know, would you be up to going in the bag? I'm like, and my girlfriend was coming to that particular show, and I mean, that's kind of like a strange sight to see, like a loved one, you know, being put in that situation.
Yep.
So I would never tell her like what I'd be doing, but I was like, listen, I'm not going to tell you how I'm going to get there, but I'm probably going to end up in a bag. And I need you to tell me if you're okay with that, because if you're not, I won't do it. And she said, it's fine. And she thoroughly enjoyed it. She thought it was very entertaining.
That's so amazing. So, that's perfect.
So, yeah, I mean, look, managing's tough, man. It is.
It is.
And like, I'd like to think that I was able to do a decent job at it. But like, when I'd work with guys like Stokely Hathaway, you know, and guys like, I know you won't like me saying this, but guys like Joey Eastman, who just have such a good grasp on really on just how to elicit a reaction and how to help tell stories.
Yeah, on the real, like, Joey Eastman has a very intricate mind for professional wrestling, and I really enjoy it. And Stokely is on another level, I think. And just, it's just, I was watching Casanova and Vox recently, and just like,
he's great.
yeah, the small things, and it's just always, he's always there, and it's amazing. Like, Stokely's on another level. He'll be in the WWE at some point for sure. I love watching his Twitter. I don't know if you see that,
yeah,
but even mm-hmm. just his Twitter, just I just laugh every fucking day.
And it's like the ability to keep a straight face too with what you're doing. Like when Puff Bearer is holding up a beer can to Jay Freddy, and me and Stokely are looking at each other trying to make sense of it. I'm like trying not to lose it inside. And I look straight at him, and he's got the most serious face about this guy holding a PBR that's helping a guy come to life. I'm like, you are really good at what you do, because I was struggling, let me tell you. And he is really good at what he does.
Great.
And he helps get his talent into a position that, I mean, look, Austin Theory just wrestled Velveteen Dream.
Yeah, how crazy is that, dude? I just sat here and thought about it a couple days ago, and him and Darby Allin wrestling Velveteen Dream on an Evolve show, fucking independent wrestling.
And you talk about a guy who's going to make it. I think Austin Theory is one, too. Who
Austin Theory is going to make a lot of money in this business. Yeah,
I agree with you on that, too. Mikey asks, any potential unannounced talent that surprised us in the open invite scramble? Well, if it's a surprise, I don't think Randy wants to answer that.
I would be anticipating a surprise in the open invite scramble if I were you. So hold on to that, and let's talk in, like, I don't know, the podcast after the show, because people will be shitting their pants.
Ooh, okay.
There you go. There you go, Doug.
Okay. The Indie Wave. How did Whiskey Dick come to be? They're quickly becoming one of my favorite Limitless teams.
Whiskey Dick came from a road trip with myself and Top Shelf Troy Nelson. We were heading to Blitzkrieg Pro. This is, it might be 2 years ago now, at least a year and a half ago. And he gets into the car with a shit-eating grin, and we start talking. He said, he just pitches it. He's like, how about this? Because like, after September of last year, where he wrestled Swoggle, we didn't really know where we were going with Troy Nelson. And that's kind of been the theme of Troy Nelson, is like, we'll
but that have kind some, of adds, that adds to his charm.
Yeah. We'll have like, we'll have something, some kind of program for eight to 10 months. And then it's like, okay, where are we going with Top Shelf Troy Nelson? And that he came in the car, he said, it could be myself and Dick Justice. Cause we're just starting to get Dick Justice back into the mix, and Whiskey Dick. It's just, that, and that stuck with me, and we weren't able to, you know, we were in no position to really pull the trigger on that right off the bat. But once we were, why wouldn't I take a chance on it? It killed me when I started thinking about the possibilities that we could do with it. And it's pretty crazy, because I do think that they've turned into one of the top, you know, fan favorite teams in Limitless Wrestling.
They were a lot of fun to work with, and, you know, they're all comedy and everything, but I can't even tell you how seriously those guys take what they do. I mean, they really do.
Look at I can't even say all comedy anymore, because look at the match that they had with Free to Think last show, man.
It was awesome, though. It was awesome.
Top Shelf kicking off the match with a Tope Suicida. Dick Justice and Jeff Cannonball were beating the absolute shit out of each other, dude. It was I love
and
that
when
match.
When I say they're all comedy, I don't necessarily mean just what they do in the ring. You know, the act is, it's a fun act, and that's the point of it, and you should become enamored with that. But they take what they do so seriously, and I remember the match that I was involved with them. There was a moment that didn't go quite as they hoped it would, and they were so hard on themselves. But I'm like, guys, do you see how entertained the crowd was? Like, that's all that matters, you know?
Top Shelf has such a, and this has been since the first year, he has such a captivation with the audience. It's insane. Like, not something that I could have predicted or even thought of, because we did not start out on this journey thinking it was going to go like this.
The Indie Wave also asks, it was really cool to see a Limitless rematch between MJF and Matt Cross on All In. If the opportunity presented itself, would you book the rubber match? Well, I'll tell you this. While I'm sure Randy would love to book the rubber match, it's still status quo on the MJF front.
Yeah, that would be a no. I mean, I think someone should, though. I think it's cool that, like, someone could book that, you know, and do it at three different companies. So I just don't see it happening in Limitless Wrestling. Although I'd love to have Matt Cross back. He's just like the busiest dude in the world, because I send him pretty much almost every date. And Ethan Page is the same exact way, where I'll send them every single date just because I love both of them.
Yeah.
And they're just, Matt Cross is overseas almost every time, and Ethan Page just has a different booking almost every time, so it just never works.
They also ask, can you run us through what happens when you have a last-minute cancellation? What's the thought process? Who do you hit up first? Do you get help from other wrestlers in these situations? I'd imagine you get some recommendations from some people.
Yeah, I try. The big thing, especially if it's a bigger name, is I try to scope out, okay, you know, what are the major shows running this date? Like, what else is on the same date? So then in my head, I can just rule out dudes immediately who I know are on those cards. And then I can kind of shift my gears to, okay, if these promotions aren't running, then this guy might not have anything. But I do, you know, I ask guys, I'm like, hey, do you happen to know of anybody who might be in the area or just anybody with a date open? And you just go searching. Sometimes it's a lot easier than others. For instance, the March show where we had all the cancellations, I was able to get Chris Dickinson to replace David Starr right off the bat. I was able to get Wheeler Yuta to replace Chase Owens.
And how awesome has he been, by the way?
Yuta? Oh, Yuta's awesome, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was able to get Jimmy Jacobs to replace Joey Janela, I think within a day or two. So that one, you know, sometimes it turns out in your favor. Other times, like I look at the Chuck Taylor, Tracy Williams cancellations at Past Your Bedtime in 2016. That happened the morning of. So I couldn't pull anything out of my ass that time. Yeah. But yeah. Sometimes you can.
Caitlin asks, who came up with the Pine Tree State Pro Wrestling Party moniker? I've been in love with it since I heard it. Would love to see it on a shirt.
That was me because it was kind of just thinking of, like, there were a bunch of different variations at first, and that's the one that, because I had like five or six that I was stuck on, that because I was never really sold on any of them, and I just read them off to a group of like five of my friends, and that was the one that was the consensus of the best one. But I just always kind of wanted to have this low-key moniker of, I don't know, separating us from just being fucking wrestling, pro wrestling, you know?
That's true.
And that was always something I wanted people to relate that it's, you know, it's not just a wrestling show. It's a party. It's a fun time.
Yeah, definitely. Patrick says, I've seen lots of chairs, tables, et cetera, broken at shows. What's the most expensive thing you've had to pay for or fix to replace, pardon me, pay to fix or replace after a show?
That's a fun question. We've been fairly lucky. There have been quite a few chairs broken that we haven't owned, but, I don't know. I'm a pretty good talker sometimes when push comes to shove. And we've been fairly okay with everything at the Westbrook Armory. We did have to pay for a chair or two. But the most expensive one was the American Legion Post 84. This was the last official Limitless show there. It was February of 2017. They had just purchased new chairs, new tables, and they had had them for a month and a half. So I got the rundown when we got there. Hey, and they're really cool at the American Legion. Just want to let you know, tables are new, so just please let everybody know, you know, not to do anything with them. And I usually do that every show anyway, but it's Sammy Callahan versus JT Dunn, and they're standing on a table. And I, you know, I fucking knew. I saw Sammy stand up on that thing. I'm like, yeah, this is not going to, you know, it's just, I know what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
Nothing I can do. And 10 seconds later, there's a pile driver through the fucking table.
There it goes.
The owner just beeline it. He's not happy. And I'm like, it'll be paid. It was a new table. It was $80. That's the worst, knock on wood, that we've had. Yeah, I've seen
that's nothing.
I've been a part of shows where at Cityside, actually, for IWE, someone actually broke through the wall. That's happened three times since I've worked there. So, and that was, I was there from 2013 to 2016. So, I'm sure that was not a cheap fix.
No. Jacoby wants to know, will we ever see a joint event with other New England companies? Limitless versus Chaotic or Beyond would be sweet.
I definitely think it could happen. I've said this before, we've talked to Beyond Wrestling numerous times about potentially setting something up, but I don't know. There's no plans right now, but I do think at some point we could see some kind of joint event with either promotion.
I think that would be pretty sweet. Roy says, for John, any plans to jump back into independent wrestling while in Orlando? Not right now. That's really all I know at this point. Not right now. But you never know. You never know.
There's a lot of stuff around you.
There is a lot of stuff around me, but... I I mean, Randy can tell you just from having worked with me these past few years, availability is few and far between when it comes to my career path. So
you got a busy schedule. So it was tough. I mean, you can look at your Limitless career. You would have been there every show if you could have. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And people asked about that a lot. Like, why aren't you at this? Well, it's because Friday night football or Friday night basketball.
We'd get you in between seasons pretty much.
That's what, take a look at my timeline. That's literally what it was. It was between seasons. So it was this particular run. It was from spring season to the beginning of fall. So that was that. So we'll see. But you never know. I hear there's this big company around the corner from me. I got to check them out.
Yeah, man, it's on sale.
Something with a full sale. I don't know, something like that. Aaron, what female wrestlers have caught your eye that haven't been able to work with yet?
Oh, good question.
Charlotte Flair?
Absolutely. For real, I love Allison Kay. I remember seeing her for the first time. I think it was either 2012 or 2013 in Beyond Wrestling at like a Tournament for Tomorrow taping, and she's just incredible. And she's, you know, her Impact Wrestling run was awesome as Sienna. So I'd love to have her at some point. I hope she gets signed, but if she doesn't, I'd love to have her at some point. Chelsea Green is another one.
Yeah, Chelsea Green was one people brought up to me a lot.
I think she's exceptional. We have almost pulled the trigger on that once before, but stars didn't align, hopefully at some point. And Solo Darling. I think Solo Darling is exquisite. So I'd love to have her at a Limitless show at some point. People
have asked me too about Tennille Dashwood.
I think that could happen too. She's been doing great work since she's been on the indies from what I've seen.
Yeah, for sure.
Skylar, I saw a tag match she was against Skylar.
Yeah. Edward wants to know, will we see Tyler Nitro or Cam Zagami back in a Limitless ring anytime soon? Seems like they've fallen off the face of the earth, but Tyler Nitro was just at Let's Wrestle.
Yeah. I guess to the Limitless scale, like, they kind of have fallen off the face of the earth, and not by any intention, but, you know, we wrapped up their story September of last year. Honestly, the idea was to keep Tyler Nitro off of a couple shows and bring him back, but I think it was a matter of just, we got booked up so quick for so many dates, and the room just wasn't there. And Cam Zagami, we didn't really have a plan for after September either, and he wrestled Chris Dickinson in November, and that's been it for him since then. But Cam's been doing great things, winning the Chikara Young Lions Cup. He's been doing great things with Chikara Beyond and Chaotic. So
he was on Raw too, wasn't he?
He was, with Anthony Green and DL Hurst. And Tyler Nitro, as you mentioned, he's in Let's Wrestle right now, and it's kind of cool to get kind of a new feel on him to see where he is right now.
Ronnie asks, who designs the Limitless logos for shirts? There's literally not one I don't like. Super unique stuff.
Well, thank you. It's split between, well, the original, the Circle Limitless logo that was made by Championship Graphics. That's the only thing that we've done with them. But it's a mixture from there between Legit Fit Designs, who designs our posters, and Ginger Ninja Designs by Calypso Sage. And you can kind of tell the art differences because Calypso has done the Alien one, which is my favorite, the Lucha Lobsters, the Lucha Moose, the Misfits one, and then you can look at the Vacation Land Cup t-shirt, the Limitless license plate, and the, I call it the Diamond Pine Tree State logo. Those ones were done by Legit Fit, but I think it's very tough because I can't fucking draw I can't draw to save my life. Right. And it's very tough because I'll have ideas and I'll try to sketch them out. So they've done great jobs at, you know, kind of making these pieces come to life. And I've luckily had my friend Andy, who is an amazing artist, and he was able to draw out a couple of my ideas. He actually drew the Lucha Pizza Man logo out, and then Calypso designed it. But we've got a small team, but a great team, and I think it's really cool that we have two different artists kind of applying their styles to our logos.
Martin wants to know, how would you describe the Limitless Wrestling atmosphere? I think he just means kind of generally, and I think all it takes is just to go to one show and find out yourself.
I agree, man, but I would say fun, just to put it simply. Like, it's a fun atmosphere.
I think it's evident that it's a promotion that is for the fans by the fans.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We listen up all the time, and we're just trying to give you what you want.
That's what we're trying to do with this podcast. And if you feel like we're doing that, you head over to iTunes, you head over to Podbean, wherever you get this, and you leave a 5-star review. And that's how you help grow the podcast, you grow the promotion. I mean, how important is that? How much would a 5-star review mean to you, Randy?
Oh, it's awesome. It helps us get more visibility on any platform, whether it's Podbean or iTunes, anything. So any good reviews are great reviews for us.
Yes.
And also, if you want to have an advertisement on this podcast, I'll have to tell you off the air, but we actually do have an advertiser now. So okay. Starting next week. Yeah. Okay. So if you do want to advertise on this podcast, you can email randycarver@yahoo.com, and we can set something up for you pretty cheap.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Nick says, or asks rather, who are some top bands and artists you both have been listening to? Now, we've been asked in the past who our favorite, you know, bands of all time are and everything, but who are you listening to right now?
Mine's all over the place. Post Malone is what I've been listening to the most. I've actually been watching some of his, like, live concerts. I think he's amazing live.
I couldn't tell you what Post Malone looks like, but people have told me that Post Malone looks very exotic, so I guess I need to do a
Google
search.
How have you not seen it?
Because, Randy, I don't listen to that music.
Whatever.
You
he's
and
all
you,
over the place. You'll recognize him.
You and you youngins, you kids that didn't even own an N64. Oh, wow. That's what a Post Malone is?
Post
Malone looks like if Bear Bronson had like a bad trip at the tattoo artist.
Bro, you just said you didn't even know what he looked like.
I just Googled him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I suppose, I don't know. Bear Bronson, yeah, I guess if he dyed his hair and got some
I did hear Bear Bronson's coming to Let's Wrestle, though.
He is. Him and Beefcake Charlie, the Bear Country.
Bear Country is coming. Anyone else?
I've been listening to a lot of Bad Religion per usual. Greta Van Fleet, I think their
name.
I
was going to bring up Greta Van Fleet too. Actually,
I just discovered them, man. They are amazing.
Really? So I go back and forth every day with how I feel about Greta Van Fleet, because certain days I'm like, wow, these guys are like so unique for their time right now, because there's a lot of callbacks to their, like, I mean, they sound like they could be Led Zeppelin meeting Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
But the problem with them to me is that they sound like they could be Led Zeppelin or Black Sabbath. So it almost, sometimes it's too derivative for me. But they did put out a new song the other day, because they got an album coming up, and I loved it. And I think they're super talented, all four of them. And they're young too. They're super young.
Yeah. They're just insane. Like, I listened to a couple of the songs they have up on Spotify. I also listened to, I can't even tell you the name of the band, because I saw them on Jam in the Van on YouTube, but Tony Hawk's son, Riley Hawk, is in a real sick band that was really fun to listen.
Oh. I've been listening. I mean, I do listen to a lot of different music, but I continuously circle back to my core favorites, and that's been well documented for me. But lately I've been listening to a lot of old school Weezer, a lot of like Blue Album and Pinkerton stuff, and some Pinkerton outcuts, and that's
Weezer's fun.
That's the best. They are just the best. New Weezer, you know, Africa Weezer, I don't know so much about, but you know, old school Weezer, that's so good. No doubt about that. Continuing here, let's see, what have we not gotten to? We're wrapping things up here. William asks, what are some of the biggest problems and disasters you've encountered in your 3 years in Limitless?
I think one's still fresh on the mind.
Yeah, the ring not showing up until an hour before the show.
Scott, oh, not that. There. The fucking cage break.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying, I mean, there was a strange sense of it was like a catatonic state when the cage fell, because there was nothing you could do.
No.
You know, you it was out of your control.
It's like hydroplaning.
Exactly.
You can watch it all, but you can't do a thing.
There was nothing you could do. I had not seen you as livid as you were when the ring got there so late, just because the immediate stress that caused you. I mean, you were pissed. And
yeah, I had a couple choice words.
But that happened. Any other like major things that that got a little out of hand, maybe?
We actually at the last Let's Wrestle show, you were there. The ring broke.
Yes, it did. Yeah, yeah.
For a second, like I'm sitting there, and people are looking at me, and this is the thing that pisses me off the most. Is people would look at me dead in the face. They know I'm looking at the ring. Hey, I think your ring broke. My dad. This is a true story. I'm sitting by the music, like I'm doing music, and he's across the room. I can see him. He can see me. And he gets on his phone, and I see my phone ring, and I'm like, there's no way he's calling me right now. I'm thinking in my head, okay, he's got some, you know, words of wisdom, or he might know what went wrong. I don't know yet. And I pick up the phone. He said, hey, I think your ring broke. I didn't say a word, and I hung up the phone. I could have thrown it, man. I could have thrown it. But luckily, we were able to fix that one fairly quick. I think it was like a 5-minute fix, but we were lucky that we had another bolt there. But other than that, we've been super lucky. Like the Fans Bring the Weapons match where the glass shattered everywhere. God. That wasn't great.
Never forget literally seeing AR Fox's skin hanging off his body. Oh, my God. I can't.
But, you know, these are the things that you learn not to do or to, you know, you learn from these. I'm glad that they happen. You know, I'm not, obviously, I'm not, but I am glad that they happen. So now for the future, like, I can hopefully better myself as a promoter and not make stupid mistakes.
And last question comes from Smart Mark. The Smart Marks Pod. What are some random things you've learned that you wouldn't have expected to when becoming a promoter?
That's a good question. I think one of the big ones is like how fucked up airline travel can be.
Yes, I've learned that many times firsthand.
I'll use the PCO thing for example. I don't know.
We talked about this. Yeah,
his flight gets canceled and they rebook him from an airport that he's not at. He arrived one flight. He had two flights that morning. Yeah. He's arrived at JFK and they book him out of a different airport. And I'm like, I'm thinking, I'm like, how the fuck is this guy supposed to get there? Like, and that just boggles my mind. But there's a lot of stuff with airlines, hidden fees, a lot of different things like that that can you just learn, and you learn what airlines you can trust. And you also learn just how, you know, how important it is to know travel, and you kind of have to be a travel agent, you know, set up carloads, figure out where guys are going to stay. It's just another part of the business that you definitely have to learn very quick.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I mean, even though I'm not a promoter, one thing I'm learned that I wouldn't have expected to, and it actually has helped me a lot, projecting when talking with an audience. I never really thought about that when I was, because I'm like, oh, well, you got the microphone to help you. But projecting gives off a certain degree of confidence, I think. And you certainly know that when you give your locker room speeches, that you projecting gives off quite a bit of confidence.
You have to make sure, like, especially if you sound like forceful in the microphone, you're going to sound very good so people can hear you.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Anything else you learned?
I don't know. I love postering locally. Like, I'll bitch about it, but I love doing that. And one thing that I've continuously learned is that is never a dying art. Because there's still people who show up at shows. And I love asking people, like, how did you find Limitless Wrestling? Like, who told you? How did you figure this out? And it seems like literally one in every 5 or 6 people are still like, I saw a poster hanging up in my local pizza shop. And a lot of places don't do it, but I just think it's super important. And I learn every time that someone says that to me that, you know, it's just an important thing to do. And I think a lot of promotions don't do it anymore. It's kind of a bummer because that's just – it's one of those DIY aspects of independent wrestling that keeps the blood flowing for me, you know?
No doubt about that. And the blood will continue flowing right into Pretenders Beware, because that's coming up September 21st. We are, like you said, just about a week and a half away from this one. Pick up your tickets now. They're not going to be available. It's going to sell out, this thing. I know you're saying that, I don't know. It's going to sell out, okay? And you're going to want to be there because it is the 3rd-year anniversary show next week, time permitting. Hopefully it will permit. We will be doing a full preview show of that, and I cannot wait to talk about it with you, and we'll have to talk about some other things too, I guess, off air. So, yeah, Randy, anything absolutely. Else? Anything else you want to add here?
Just again, if you want to make it to that show, I would definitely suggest picking up your tickets. By the time we meet again on this podcast next week, there won't be any more tickets being sent out. Tuesday, next Tuesday, is going to be the last day that they're going to be sent out. So you have basically until Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. to order your tickets if you want to get them in your hands before Friday. If not, take a chance at the door. But you don't want to miss this show. I always say you never know who's going to show up, especially at the three-year anniversary show. So I'm super excited.
Absolutely, Randy. It's been a lot of fun. I won't be on location next week. I'll be on my permanent location. And we'll chat to all you guys then. So thanks a bunch, and we'll see you next time.